May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A poem by R.S. Thomas called The Bright Field. I have seen the sun break through to illuminate a small field for a while, and gone my way and forgotten it. But that was the pearl of great price, the one field that had treasure in it. I realize now that I must give all that I have to possess it. Life is not hurrying on to a receding future, nor hankering after an imagined past. It is the turning aside, like Moses, to the miracle of the lit bush, to a brightness that seemed as transitory as your youth once, but is the eternity that awaits you. Well, thank you very much for your kind invitation today. It's lovely to come here, even in the midst of rain and mud. It's a favourite place for myself and my family, this valley, and we always come, obviously, making the effort from Oxford. It's always sunny when we come to this valley. So in my total fantasy this morning, I came with no coat, no umbrella. It's always sunny in Hambledon Valley. So I got a slight surprise when the road was blocked and the rain and everything else. But what a joy it is to come to a place we've always loved to walk and to visit and to be here with the people who live here. So thank you for inviting me today. I'm Archdeacon of Oxford. I live in Christchurch, so I bring greetings from the Bishop of Oxford, from the Cathedral at Christchurch. And I'm also the Interfaith Advisor. I look after chaplains and chaplaincies, and I lead on church planting and fresh expressions across the diocese. So over coffee, if you want to talk about any of that, you're welcome. But I've been asked to look today at what does it mean, a fresh look at judgment. We all make judgments all the time. Today you've chosen what clothes to wear, what things you're going to do today. Judgment is something we all do all of the time. Good judgment helps us to make right choices, while poor judgment leaves us regretting the mess we've got ourselves into. Judgment matters. Most judgment is a commonplace, choosing between one thing and another, a binary choice. In some Christian teaching, God is a binary choice too. In the end, we're either for God or against God. We either choose to follow Jesus or we reject Jesus. And then God will judge us accordingly at the end of our lives. Binary again. If we choose Jesus, then we're saved and we'll go to heaven. If we reject Jesus, we are judged and we'll go to hell. It's simple and it's logical. This way or that way, you choose. Well, I've heard that kind of preaching many times in my life, and it always left me a little bit frustrated. The way it was set up as so black and white, this way or that way, it didn't seem that there was a real choice. If eternal happiness in heaven could really be bought by one simple decision and one statement of faith, who wouldn't choose that? If the alternative was eternal damnation and suffering in hell, the judgment seemed obvious. Choose life. Choose Jesus. And to be fair, there's some truth in that. I hope I do choose Jesus every moment of every day. But sometimes those who were preaching that message to me, didn't seem quite such wonderful people. Sometimes my limited judgment as a teenager or growing up left me feeling they were living actually quite blinkered, limited lives. And what if the Christian message I heard was so badly delivered I didn't choose Jesus? Would God really judge and condemn me forevermore? And what about my friends who've grown up in other cultures and other faiths, of whom we're so much more aware in our generation than before, perhaps? Dilwar and Rabia, for example, who are intelligent, prayerful, fun-loving Muslims. Will they be judged and sent to hell? If judgment in faith matters is like an everyday consumer choice, either this or that, then we can find our faith language becoming very intolerant with those who don't choose as we do, with very little sense of mercy. But Psalm 85 says, justice and mercy have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy is always needed with justice. I used to be vicar of Shakespeare's Church in Stratford-on-Avon, and there's that wonderful speech, The Quality of Mercy, and it talks about justice and mercy having to be held together. For our ancestors in this place, in this valley, in this church, life was difficult and often short. Life itself was hard enough. Fear of hell, fear of eternal difficulty, punishment, hardship was strong. But in the West, at least, times have changed. Life has become easier for many people. Less and less people believe in God, and certainly not in a God who would have the temerity to judge them. We're a society with increasing anxiety, strangely, especially amongst younger generations. But I don't think it's primarily about God and his judgment. The anxieties of our forebears are not always the same for us. Fewer people believe in God, the surveys show, but belief in the afterlife is actually growing. That's one of the strange features that surveys have shown. Belief in the afterlife is growing, even while belief in God is falling. Some have called it the easygoing belief of the baby boomer generation. That's my kind of age group and above. There may be a God, there may well not be. And anyway, it's not relevant to my life. If there is a heaven, well, I think we're all going there, surely, to a place of light and peace that doesn't depend on anything we've done or not done. There is no judgment, in other words. Or if there is, most people are very confident that they'll end up in heaven, a place of unconditional light and love. Well, if that is the spirit of our age, and it sounds wonderful, and I'm all for unconditional light and love, but sometimes it leaves me as a priest a little bit uncomfortable. I've taken hundreds of funerals in my time. It's one of the privileges as well as the challenging sides of being a priest. But I remember a good example of this kind of view of the afterlife. As often traditional now, members of the family or friends give eulogies. And this was a man who had lived quite a rough life. He was a bit of a rogue, the man saying the eulogy said. He loved a few drinks, a good punch-up. I bet he's pulling pints in heaven right now. And it's quite strange you're standing there because you don't want to be a killjoy as the vicar. But you kind of think, if heaven's going to be like that, And this chap who loved a good fight in life is going to be right beside me, carrying on much as before. Will it be that heavenly for the rest of us? For his wife, who had quite a tough time living with him? In a sense, this view of this wonderful afterlife is really just an extension of life on earth, which for most people, most of the time, is not actually that perfect. So is there no point to faith, morality, or the quest for a holy life? What do you think? Really tempted to get you to chat to each other now, but it's going to take too long. So after coffee, do stay behind and tell me what you think. But I'm going to just wonder for a moment to finish. I wonder if God is not the judge, the big man sitting on a big throne that we've seen in medieval pictures, the biggest human judge there could be. Because theology tells us God is not a person. All the time we make him into a person, but he's beyond all that. It's just how we imagine with our limited minds. What if God's not the judge, but judgment itself? When we encounter God in Scripture, in life, in the person of Jesus, we find ourselves in the presence of judgment. We find ourselves judged. We come face to face with perfect love, for God is love, the Bible says. And it is beautiful and it is terrifying at the same time. It's like spring light coming into your home and showing up all the dust and dirt. Beautiful, yet troubling. And how did people react to Jesus in the Gospels? That's meeting judgment, if you like, in everyday life. Drawn to him, his beauty, his words, his love, and yet shrinking from him. Till finally he is crucified. As we heard him say today, now is the judgment of this world. It's a present thing, not just a far off future. Coming face to face with God, who is perfect love, is not actually that easy for any of us. For all of us fall short each and every day. Like meeting someone who loves you so much, and yet you've let down. To look into their eyes is a difficult thing, even as you receive their love and their mercy and forgiveness. At the end of our lives, God's light will show everything that we've been and not been, done and not done. And that will be hard and painful for all of us, perhaps, even as that same light is pure and forgiving and cleansing. God's love may cut us to the quick, even as it loves and heals. Perhaps fire will be there, as well as beauty. But in our reading today, the burning bush blazed, but was not consumed. For behind it all is love beyond measure. To end with a bit of poetry as I began, T.S. Eliot, as he brought the four quartets to their glorious conclusion, said, I think, possibly something on this line. And all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well, when the tongues of flame are enfolded into the crowned knot of fire, and the fire and the rose are one. Amen.